This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. I'm delighted to welcome back to the Radio Cafe Miranda Viscoli. She's co-president of New Mexicans to Prevent Gun Violence. And we are joined also here in the cafe by Dr. Jim Webster, retired professor of medicine, public health doctor, also on the board of this organization. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for the invitation.
So yesterday was a big day for proponents of gun safety. And what happened was that President Obama basically did an executive order that puts into law, and you could explain this to us a little bit better than I'm explaining it right now, the kind of gun safety laws that advocates of gun safety have been trying to get through Congress unsuccessfully for many years. What's it about? What happened?
Well, for one thing, we're thrilled to death that Obama did this and that he had the courage to do something like this. And what we love about what he's done, I mean, not only do 90% of Americans want universal background checks, he is now going after that part that says those who are engaged in the business of selling guns. And the great thing about that is that it can be now two guns. It can be one gun if you have enough other factors in place so that people can't continue selling guns online at gun shows from the back of their car with no questions asked. More people who are buying firearms will get a background check. There will still be folks that slip through the cracks, but it does make it so that we do get more background checks on folks buying firearms.
Including people who are buying them, for example, at the gun shows.
Exactly. But what it also does is he has a multi-pronged approach with it. So he also is beefing up our ATF's officers, which we need. In New Mexico, we have eight.
Alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
Exactly. So they're the ones that will then enforce this as well as other FBI investigators. In addition to that, he wants to fix our NICS system, which is our background check system, which we desperately need. New Mexicans to Prevent Gun Violence has been advocating for a NICS background check system upgrade in New Mexico for 2 years now. And what's interesting is that President Bush actually put in $1.9 billion for this to happen. And it hasn't happened. The money is still there.
Oh my goodness.
So the great thing is he doesn't have to go to Congress to get this money. It's sitting there for states to take advantage to make sure that the names of those who have no business having a firearm, that those names are getting into the system.
So, I mean, there's obviously a lot of kerfuffle among the people, including the NRA and their supporters. Or, you know, it's funny, not everybody who's a member of the NRA is a supporter of the extremism of the NRA.
No, not at all.
Because there's a lot of responsible
Most are not, with regard to background checks and that sort of thing. The NRA is selling guns, and that's what they're interested in. So they are not responsive to their membership. And they get most of their money from the gun and ammunition and what have you.
Buyers.
Sell them. Manufacturers, thank you, and not from their dues-paying members.
Very interesting. So, in any case, there's an awful lot of kerfuffle generated by the NRA and its supporters, of which there are many, not only gun manufacturers, but also citizens, who think that this is presidential overreach because it didn't go through Congress. But because the money, as you say, is already there, and not a whole lot of this requires congressional approval.
He didn't do anything unconstitutional. He simply was clarifying what the law was.
Yeah.
So he was saying, we never clarified what does it mean to be engaged in the business of selling guns. He's not changing any law. He's not doing anything that's unconstitutional. That's what the NRA is saying, but I think Obama has a pretty good chance of getting this through because he hasn't tried to change a law on this one. He's simply clarifying what does it mean to be engaged in business.
And the beauty of this is that for years the NRA is saying, all we have to do is just enforce the laws we have. That's what he's doing. He's going to enforce the laws that we have on the books. And it really is a great strategy.
It's very interesting. So when we talk about law enforcement, the kinds of laws that we have on the books, who is tasked with enforcing them?
Well, we have a tricky situation here in New Mexico because our state laws don't mirror our federal laws. And it's really hard on the police, so that if they know somebody who's a convicted felon who has a firearm, they have to, it has to be an ATF officer or an FBI agent who is able to remove that firearm. And we only have 8 ATF officers in the whole state of New Mexico. So one thing we're really trying to push.
That's crazy.
It's crazy. And we also have 11,000 fugitives. 11,000. I mean, that's
what do you
crazy.
Mean by fugitive?
Fugitives of the law that the marshals, the U.S. marshals, are going after. So we have a huge problem of crime in our
around,
state.
I mean,
throughout all of New Mexico.
All crimes. I mean, not just
yeah, all
crimes.
Right.
To,
okay. Right. So what we're really trying to do is see if we can just get our basic New Mexico laws to mirror our federal laws. For instance, if you have a misdemeanor domestic violence offense, and a lot of those are pleaded down from felonies, you still can buy a firearm. If you have a restraining order and you're a domestic violence offender, you can still buy a firearm.
Oh, my goodness.
If you've been if you just got out of a mental institution, you can still buy a firearm because our state laws don't mirror what the federal laws are. So when they say, well, let's enforce the laws we have, New Mexico has some of the weakest laws in terms of gun violence prevention laws in the country.
Very interesting. Now, does this mean that the police and the various agents doing law enforcement around gun laws are mainly enforcing state laws and not enforcing federal laws?
Exactly.
Why is that?
Yeah, because they only have to enforce the state laws. Because if we have, and that's the whole problem with closing the gun show loophole, is that we need to make sure if this does happen that we will mirror the federal law in closing that gun show loophole.
So tell us, for those who might be sort of new to this topic, what is the gun show loophole?
So basically, the gun show loophole is you can go to a gun show and you can, if you're a private seller, you don't have to do a background check. If you have an FFL licensee, that's a federal firearms license, you have to conduct a background check. And what you actually have at gun shows is folks going to the federal firearm licensees, buying a bunch of guns, and then having a table set up where it says no background check needed, and they jack up the price on that firearm so that folks, for instance, maybe from the Mexican drug cartel, can walk in with their duffel bag and buy a bunch of firearms, no questions asked.
And that does happen.
That does happen. There was one guy I just read about, I think it was in Connecticut, I should remember the state, he was selling 200 firearms, but he claimed it was a hobby. And they were going directly to gun gangs and drug dealers.
Yeah, I mean, one of the, I think, interesting arguments that needs to be deconstructed is that a lot of people who are against any kind of gun control or gun safety legislation will say that the quote-unquote bad guys, gangsters, cartels, and so on, who are acquiring guns are acquiring them illegally anyhow. So if you make it harder for people to legally and safely buy firearms, you're just putting more guns in the hands of the quote-unquote bad guys. In fact, the bad guys are acquiring them legally at gun shows, and this has been shown. I've read cases over and over again of where these shootings happen with all kinds of legally acquired guns, not to mention the ones going to gangs and cartels.
That's exactly true. Our Travis Morales, who was the horrible Mexican drug cartel who killed 170 people for not when they were trying to get over for not carrying drugs at the same time. He basically got all of his AK-47s from a dealer at a gun show in California.
So there is a bill that you and other advocates of gun safety have been working on. It's called House Bill 51. What does that bill do, and will it be necessary if this executive order is properly enforced?
Well, we want to make sure that our state laws mirror the federal law, so that's the first thing that we would want to do. And enforcement, of course, is going to be the big question about both the federal and the local activities. But this would allow us to at least slow down the torrent of guns that are getting into the wrong hands, and it every little bit helps. Now, of course, one of the problems that has been highlighted by the president, for example, the same way is online gun sales, where people can obtain firearms and ammunition without any background check, and this is the sort of thing that we want to stop not only in New Mexico, but in the country. But right now we're talking about New Mexico, and as as Miranda pointed out, New Mexico has very weak gun laws, which is why we have such a problem with gun violence. It's a very easy equation. More guns, more homicides, more suicides. It's just that easy. As to paraphrase Bill Clinton, it's the guns, stupid. It's the guns.
Now, if House Bill 51 were to be passed and signed into law by Governor Martinez, it would allow New Mexico law enforcement to enforce laws that are parallel to the federal laws.
I think that's correct. I'm not 100% sure, but I'm about 90% sure that that would do that. And we all, I mean, the good thing also about what Obama did is what Jim was just saying is that it also does go after those online sales. I don't know if you saw the newspaper article in the New Mexican about the firearms you could buy on Facebook in Santa Fe.
Oh, my goodness.
Just no questions asked.
Yeah.
You can just call the guy up and say you wanted to buy these firearms for $300.
Okay. We're talking to Miranda Viscoli and Dr. Jim Webster from New Mexicans to Prevent Gun Violence. Now, Jim Webster, you worked in public health for many years, and you're a professor of medicine. You're retired. You were in Chicago. Talk about gun safety as a public health issue.
Well, gun safety is a major public health issue. We have a huge epidemic in the country. We have approximately 33,000 deaths every year in the country. And last year in New Mexico, we had 323 deaths, which is about the same as the number of deaths due to automobile accidents, etc. The national numbers are about twice that of the people dying of AIDS, for example, and are three-quarters of the deaths from breast cancer. So it's a major public health epidemic, and we have to understand that while there are homicides are an issue, and certainly accidents are an issue, the majority of deaths, about two-thirds of them, are from suicide. And the suicides occur, there's a sort of a bimodal distribution. The suicides occur in the adolescent age, below 24, and then in older folks. And it's particularly the homicides, as we know, are a big city problem. The suicides are a rural problem, particularly in elderly white males, old guys like me.
Very, very interesting. When you call gun violence an epidemic, and you are a public health doctor and know a great deal about epidemics, I mean, are there parallels to disease epidemics? Are there parallels to things like, you know, transmission and contact and stuff like that?
Oh, it's perfect. For example, for malaria, for example, not a big problem in Santa Fe, but in worldwide a huge problem. The mosquito is the vector, and the instigator is the parasite that is injected into you. The problem is, of course, that for guns, the vector is the handgun, and the active cause is the bullet. It's exactly the same.
But we don't have a vaccine. That's the only problem.
That is a bit of a problem. We don't have a vaccine. We do have a cure, though.
And the cure is?
The cure is to reduce the number of handguns in particular. We're not talking about deer rifles here. We're not talking about shotguns. We're talking about handguns. That is the big problem. And if we can get the number of handguns reduced, we know that the number of deaths is going to go down because we've done the experiment. For example, in Connecticut, where they put in stringent gun laws and reduced the number of firearms, the number of deaths went down. In Missouri, just the opposite. They weakened the gun laws, and in 10 years later, they'd almost doubled the number of deaths. It's a perfect experiment in nature, and the data is very clear.
So it's like there's more mosquitoes.
You'd put more mosquitoes, and of the wrong kind, and more malarial parasites, more guns and more bullets.
What did you actually see on the ground as a doctor when you were doing this kind of work in Chicago?
Well, I worked at a hospital which was a level one trauma center, one of two in the city, so we got about half of all the gunshot wounds. And the results were just devastating. I mean, you couldn't work there without feeling just wanting to cry some days. I remember just too many specific incidents where people were, some of them were at the wrong place at the wrong time, and some of them were involved in a shootout. But no one deserves to be shot. I don't care. Even if you're a gangmember, you do not deserve to be shot and killed. And that's what we saw too much of. And it was just tears your heart out. That's what got me interested in gun safety, quite frankly.
What do you think is the role of the incredible amount of violence that we have in the media and video games and so on? Do you think that plays any role at all?
The data is not overwhelming, but surprisingly enough, it does not seem to do that. For example, in Japan, they have violent games that are much more violent even than what we have, and they don't see the level of gun violence. They don't have any guns.
Right. Very interesting. We're talking to Dr. Jim Webster and Miranda Viscoli. Now, Miranda, the group is called New Mexicans to Prevent Gun Violence, and it used to be called, wasn't it called New Mexicans for Gun Safety?
It was called New Mexicans for Gun Safety, and our new co-president, Dr. Harry Abert, after the Charleston shootings this summer, he called me up and he said, Miranda, I just don't feel like our name is what we're about. We're always been about gun violence prevention, and gun safety is pretty much what the NRA wants to hear. They are constantly saying it's not about gun violence, it's about gun safety, and we have to learn about gun safety. And gun safety is important, don't get me wrong. We teach people making sure they lock up their guns, especially if they have a kid in the house. But we really felt that that name was no longer serving what we as an organization were doing, so we changed it, New Mexicans to Prevent Gun Violence.
Before we went on the air, you were talking about how the term gun safety, which originally came out of an attempt to reframe the so-called gun control debate to really being about safety rather than control, has been kind of co-opted.
See, I think that got... See, we never say gun control because the NRA comes back and says, you're trying to control our guns. But they co-opted, in my opinion, gun safety to say, hey, let's have everybody just look at this as a safety issue rather than a gun violence issue. So we've started to spread it more out to let's talk about what it's about, which is gun violence.
And I'm delighted now to welcome to the conversation Mayor of Santa Fe, Javier Gonzalez. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi, Mary Charlotte. How are you?
Good, good. Great to have you in this conversation about gun violence. Now, I wanted to ask you before we talk about what the New Mexicans to Prevent Gun Violence is doing, what kind of a gun violence problem do we have in Santa Fe?
Well, I think that it's important to focus on the lack of laws that exist today that would prevent Santa Fe from suffering from some of the gun violence that has occurred through other parts of the country. Thankfully, we haven't experienced some of the tragedies that have occurred in many communities, but it doesn't mean that this afternoon or tomorrow or the next day that wouldn't happen. And a lot of it has to do with the fact that we've had a Congress that has chosen to sit on the sidelines rather than to act. We've had a lack of commitment at the statewide level to be able to close loopholes that exist. But, you know, it just means that many people at the local level need to try and figure out what we can do to prevent gun violence from occurring in our communities. So to answer your question, luckily we haven't seen the mass shootings. What we do see here, and it's not reported by the press, is gun violence that occurs when teen suicide takes place. And as we know, that teen suicide is one of the second leading cause of death amongst teenagers in our state, much of it from gun violence. You know, we know that if there is a gun in a home and a teen is suffering through some type of mental health or behavioral issue, there's a very strong chance that they'll commit suicide using that gun. So, you know, those are statistics that are overwhelmingly alarming. We don't read about it in the newspapers, but it does exist. And so there are things that we can do, everything from education to creating better laws on gun ownership to protect Santa Fe from gun violence that either is occurring now or could occur in the future, like we've seen in other communities with the mass shootings.
What about gangs in Santa Fe? Do they represent a gun violence problem?
Well, they represent a problem for sure. And I don't think that because we haven't seen a lot of gun violence take place in gangs doesn't mean that it's absent. I think that our law enforcement takes the issue of gangs very seriously in the community. They do exist. Much of it to push the drug trade that we're trying to prevent here in the city. But, you know, these are individuals that are able to access guns because there aren't laws that exist that prevent them from getting illegal guns out in the marketplace or guns that shouldn't be in their hands. And so I think that's something that certainly I worry about. I know our police worry about. But, you know, it could be a number of things. In Albuquerque, look, we saw an individual stopped for a traffic violation kill a police officer. We, through road rage, we saw an individual shoot and kill a four-year-old little girl. So New Mexico is not immune to the violence that can occur in communities because of guns. And I think, you know, we have to act with a sense of urgency. We have to recognize that the threat is real and that it exists every day. And compounding that is the lack of funds that are flowing into behavioral health specialists and mental health provider agencies so that they can help people that are in need, or figuring out ways that we can identify individuals that are in need before they choose to resort to gun violence. So there's a comprehensive approach that we have to take to preventing gun violence. I think what we saw the president do is one approach to that. We need to have legislative fixes that make it more strict on being able to purchase guns. And we have to invest more in the behavioral and mental health communities to make sure that people have access to help so that they don't resort to violence when they're acting out.
What is the role of mayors in this whole set of questions? Are you in touch with other mayors in the state who are also sharing the same concerns that you have?
Well, for sure. There is a group at the U.S. Conference of Mayors, Mayors Against Gun Violence, that I'm a part of. And look, my number one role is to keep Santa Fe safe. Every morning, it's what I think about before I start my day. It's what I think about before I go to sleep, about what might happen through the evening. I worry about gun violence constantly because I know that there is a lack of gun laws that would prevent people who want to do harm on my community from getting those guns. And so I worry about it. It's real. And I feel that my hands are tied somewhat because municipal governments don't have a lot of statutory authority over gun ownership. It's why I'm looking forward to working with Miranda and New Mexicans to Prevent Gun Violence to help us through a roundtable identify areas that we can enact through policy that could keep our community safe.
Now, you are involved with the gun table that the New Mexicans to Prevent Gun Violence is doing. Tell us about that.
Well, Miranda's been working much closer, I think, on the statewide. I think it's certainly working with the Attorney General and others to see what we can do as a state to push more legislation that can help us at the local level try and keep illegal firearms or illegal sales from happening. But I think that beyond the state table here in Santa Fe, we need to act as a city in areas that not only provide more education, do things like give away free gun locks, but really look at what we can do through the city's ordinances that would either bring more sunlight exposure to those that have guns or do what we can to figure ways just to limit the guns falling in the wrong hands. And I think all of us acknowledge that people have a right to bear arms, but, you know, they have to be people who are responsible. And I don't think that right gives them the ability to bear any type of arm either. We have to be a reasonable society. And so having access to semi-automatic weapons that's readily available doesn't make any sense in any type of reasonable society. And so we have to look at how we can, both through an education, a local statute and a state and federal statute way, bring some type of comprehensive approach. And, you know, one of the things that we do know is that the evidence is very clear, right? You can look to Australia and some of the other places around Europe where they have very strict gun laws, and you don't see the amount of mass shootings that have taken place. You can look right here in the United States and the disparity that exists between one state to another, and, you know that there's going to be an increase in gun violence in those states where you don't necessarily have the strong laws. And it's beyond me how one element, one organization can be so strong with one party in our country to keep them from addressing this in a very sensible and reasonable way. Nothing that I've seen Miranda do or any other mayors across this country even suggests that there's an effort to stop ownership of guns. It's more about making sure that there's responsibility, that we know who's buying these guns, that they are properly certified, that they are going through the right training to be able to own and use them. And with that in mind, our communities, I think, can be reasonably safe from the type of gun violence that's taking place. And it's very frustrating that we don't see any action, neither at the state nor at the federal level, in addressing this issue. Until the executive order that actually begun to continue to refine what the president is trying to do to assure that we do everything we possibly can as a country. I mean, it was very moving in his statement, and you know, I think that the president is as frustrated as anybody that on any given day he's got to go and console a community that's grieving from gun violence that is very senseless. And when you look back, Columbine all the way to Sandy Hook or any of the other communities, Oregon, that where some of this violence has existed, you can point to a change in laws that if they were in place, there would have been a high degree of possibility that violence wouldn't have occurred. And I think that the frustration is that the Congress just doesn't want to do anything. And what's even more alarming is that you hear from many proponents in the Congress that the answer is to arm more people, to make guns more available.
Right.
And that just doesn't make any sense, but it's what we're fighting up against. This issue is real. You spend time with anyone from any of these communities where this tragedy has taken place, if you lose a part of your soul. And I don't want to see that happen in Santa Fe. I certainly don't want to see it happen in any other community across the country. But if we don't get serious about passing real and reasonable gun legislation, it's going to be something that, unfortunately, we're going to have to see happen.
Mayor Javier Gonzalez, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
I really appreciate it. Thank you. And give my best, Miranda.
Excellent. Dr. Jim Webster, tell us a little bit more about the mental health piece. We were talking about public health. A lot of the time when some of these mass shootings happen or other kinds of shootings happen, it's because guns got into the hand of people who suffer from depression or schizophrenia or some other mental health issue. What's the mental health piece in helping to solve this problem?
Well, the mental health diagnoses of the mass shooters, as much as we can reconstruct them, have been all over the map. Everything from Floyd's schizophrenia to autism to people with paranoid disorders. So it would be very hard to prevent them from happening based on diagnoses. But certainly the suicides at both the younger and older age groups are impulsive acts. Something happens in their life, and all of a sudden they decide it's just not worth going on. And if a gun is available, it will get used, and the results are tragic. 85 to 90% of suicides from guns are successful. 3% of drug overdose attempts are successful. It's just remarkable. And there are very few repeat suicide attempts, surprisingly enough. It just doesn't happen. And so if we can make sure that people don't have access to guns during periods of high stress, that's going to go a long way. We also, clearly, the idea of improving access to mental health is a great one. It takes money, and unfortunately some of the same legislators who refuse to do anything about guns also refuse to get money set aside for improving mental health. It's a kind of an interesting dichotomy.
We have two parallel conversations going on in this country that don't seem to intersect much, and I wondered if either or both of you could comment on that. And one of them is this whole question of gun safety and mass shootings and road rage and people killing children and suicide and all of this. And the other is gun violence on the part of police on, for example, young black men and things like that. And yeah, no one's saying that the police shouldn't have guns, but somehow in my mind there is a connection between the kind of gun violence we have on the part of law enforcement that is going to a crazy excess and the kind of mentality we have about the right to bear arms without any conditions or limitations.
I think part of the problem is, the first half of that question is, our communities are now saturated with guns. I mean, saturated with guns. And so that's why you see that big, 56% higher in Albuquerque in homicides. It is also the civil rights issue of our time. It is the leading cause of black young men being killed. And I think that's something that we all need to look at very hard and figure out what we're going to do about that, because that is just not okay in this country. At the same time, we have police officers who are in the first line of defense when they show up at somebody's house and that person has a AK-47 that they're pointing at them, and they have a bulletproof vest that might, and with the impact of that many bullets coming at you. So I think it's...
Or a squirt gun.
I would love to see toy guns that look really realistic taken off the shelves. I think that would be... that would be a great start. But I think the whole gun issue with the police and our communities is so complicated because our communities have been saturated with guns, and people who have probably never would have had them but have an anger management problem suddenly are now collecting firearms.
You will be speaking this Sunday, the 10th of January, at 11 o'clock at Collected Works Bookstore. It's part of Journey Santa Fe's program that they do every Sunday, a wonderful program at Collected Works, and it's called Stopping the Bullet, Addressing Gun Violence in New Mexico as a Public Health Epidemic. And the two of you will be there. Alan Weber, former Democratic gubernatorial candidate, will be moderating this event. Will this be not only a presentation but also a Q&A? Can people come with their questions?
I certainly hope so. It would be wonderful. I mean, we don't have all the answers right now as to what really works because of the Stark Amendment, which prohibited the government from giving any money for research on gun issues. So we would like to get as many possible avenues to look into stopping this epidemic as we possibly can, and we can only get that by getting people involved and by having frank discussions.
Dr. Jim Webster is a retired professor of medicine and a public health doctor. Miranda Viscoli is co-president of New Mexicans to Prevent Gun Violence. Thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you. My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.